Students at the Naval War College and several universities in Massachusetts participated in exercises to simulate how military and civil interaction in times of crisis can maybe improve. They retreated to a state park to enact a refugee situation. Joining me with the purpose of this annual program, Dave Pilotti, Director of the Civilian Military Humanitarian Response Program at the Naval War College. Dave, good to have you on.
Hey, thank you, Tom. Good morning.
So a bunch of guys in uniforms got together with a bunch of college students and did what?
Yeah, this is a unique opportunity for the students at the U.S. Naval War College in Newport to interact with civilian students from a number of different programs. I'll give you a quick overlay of the demographic because it's actually pretty interesting. Harvard University has one of the most respected humanitarian education and training programs in the world. And they essentially once a year bring together not only graduate students from Boston area schools, Harvard, MIT, Tufts, et cetera, all those schools up there within close vicinity, but they also run a two-week humanitarian certificate program, really the premier training program in the world for humanitarian organizations. So they get between 60 to 80 civilian humanitarians that work for non-governmental organizations all over the world that come in as well. And essentially, those two groups of students end up getting combined in the field in North Andover, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston, and get put through a three-day intensive simulation of not only a conflict setting, but also a natural disaster setting where there's been flooding and tremendous rainfall. So it's an opportunity for our military students who not only have in the past, but will certainly in the future be dealing with conflict and humanitarian assistance operations and engaging in these settings with civilians in the future. It's a chance for them to do it in a safe, neutral environment and really learn from their mistakes.
So I guess the fundamental principle here is that there are lessons to be learned between what the military does in a refugee situation, what these humanitarian groups do in a situation, and those two better learn to kind of get along and understand each other's respective roles?
Yes, exactly. And so there are many differences between civilian humanitarians, both from a cultural perspective, how they're organized, their missions and mandates, versus militaries who don't always operate in what we call the humanitarian space. And so the first principle that we try to teach folks is that humanitarians operate by a set of principles called the humanitarian principles. And they're pretty simple. If you've never seen them before, essentially there's four of them. There's humanity, which is suffering should be addressed. And when you go to help someone, you should do no harm. And then it's that humanitarian organizations make every effort to remain neutral. They try to provide aid in an impartial manner to anybody that needs aid, and that they prefer to operate independently without any type of strings attached. So those four principles, they apply to civilian humanitarians that are out there doing amazing things, helping people in harm's way. When militaries show up, you know, militaries are essentially an extension of a government, and it's a means by which a government can achieve its strategic objectives worldwide. Sometimes military objectives match up with civilian humanitarian objectives, as in save people, alleviate suffering, et cetera. So getting these two very different types of cultures together and trying to find common ways which we can work effectively together, and the big one is figuring out how militaries can have the least impact possible on humanitarian organizations and their principles is an important one. Doing it in a nice educational setting where you can stop in the middle and you can have a debrief about an interaction that occurred, it's a great way to quickly learn in a very, you know, high velocity manner what to do and what sure. not to do.
We're speaking with Dave Pilotti, Associate Professor and Director of the Civilian Military Humanitarian Response Program at the Naval War College. So give us an idea of what actually happens. Everybody goes to the woods. You've got a couple of hundred people there in that state park. What happens?
Yeah, and I'll be careful not to give away any of the kind of sensitive stuff. This is a highly sought-after simulation. But the part that I can give away is that there are two fictional countries. that have both had some issues from a security perspective. They've both been impacted by not only conflict, but also a natural disaster. So there are many displaced persons fleeing from one country into another looking for asylum. And the United Nations has essentially been asked to provide a humanitarian response, in particular, the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs has been called into the country to help manage on behalf of that affected nation the humanitarian implications that have unfolded. So students from the Harvard program are essentially placed into a humanitarian non-governmental organization, a group of teams. And the teams have to go out into the field and get an assessment of what's happening on the ground, which is very, very difficult, of course, not only in the real world, but we make it difficult in that simulation on purpose for the students. So they try to assess if people have security issues, if they need food, water, shelter, medicine. And they have to engage with a number of different role players out there. From the War College's perspective, we bring our students in to not only let them see how that plays out, but also let them be a part of it. And then they are there to determine how the U.S. military, if called upon, might actually respond with unique military capabilities, including helicopters, aircraft, ground personnel, engineering, medical, logistics, etc.
It sounds like in a real situation, then, that one, the military would not quit and withdraw the second the humanitarians arrived, but there's some sort of ongoing interaction.
There certainly is. And this is one that a lot of people have a misunderstanding about how often militaries actually respond to humanitarian crises. It's always at the request of an affected nation, whether they're going to allow an international military or ask for an international military to come in and provide assistance, especially in the wake of a natural disaster, an earthquake, a tsunami, typhoon, that type of situation. But militaries will often respond to these big events, and the coordination itself can be really difficult because each military operates in its own unique way. They're not all coming in to necessarily function under one commander like we might in a multinational combat operation. So there are some unique and distinct challenges to bringing militaries in, even though they bring incredible capability and capacity to help, and trying to get militaries to fit into the existing international humanitarian system that's typically managed by the United Nations. That's really the point we're looking for, is just a great, realistic, dynamic simulation opportunity that gets our students out of the classroom looking at PowerPoints or whiteboards and actually puts them out there into a more realistic environment.
I guess one of the issues perhaps for militaries is the degree of trust that they engender in the people affected. In the United States, if something were to happen and it required the National Guard, I think generally people would see the National Guard arriving and say, great, here's people who are going to help and we trust to help in the right way. Not true everywhere in the world. So in many ways, there's the issue of trust between the two groups helping out, as well as trust between the people affected, the refugees themselves.
That's a fantastic point. And an important one to make is that most of the civilian humanitarian organizations that are out there responding during major crisis, any type of humanitarian emergency, they have often been operating in these countries for many, many years, some of them decades. So those organizations have built up tremendous trust and confidence with people in those countries. When international militaries respond, even with the best of intentions, it can often be seen as potentially an invading force. The media piece, the messaging of why we're there to help is a really, really important one. And a lot of it resides in part with that affected nation's domestic military. Not only what their role is in helping to respond to the disaster, but what their relationship with the people of their country is. And as you astutely pointed out, that's entirely dependent on which country you're responding to.
And what happens in the aftermath? How do you summarize what people experienced in the field and get some lessons learned out of it?
Yeah, this is one of the greatest, I think, aspects of the simulation that Harvard puts on, is they have about 150 or so students total in the field. And they have almost as many volunteers that are there role-playing and instructing. And most of the volunteers are world-class leading practitioners or academics in the humanitarian community. So a number of things happen. The first is, at any point during an interaction, an instructor slash role player can say, I'm taking you out of role, training timeout, and they can have a discussion about what's going well or what's not going well. And typically when that happens, it's trying to correct something and make an adjustment. At the end of the simulation is actually one of the most extensive debriefs that I've ever been a part of in my entire professional career, where the students actually provide feedback from their perspectives from each of the groups that has been out there doing assessments and trying to provide a response. But then all of the volunteers are provided an opportunity to give their high-level thoughts, and that really shapes the students as they leave to go out and do great things in the world, because they're able to hear from everyone in totality that was observing their performance throughout the 3 days in the field.
Dave Pilotti is Associate Professor and Director of the Civilian Military Humanitarian Response Program at the Naval War College. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Tom. Have a wonderful day.
We'll have a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.